Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Lucas and Lee podcast.
Yes, we're getting to the end of February. We've been doing this since October.
We've been doing this since October.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Like before Halloween.
Yeah, before Halloween, and now we're through Valentine's Day.
We are through Valentine's
Day. Into March, almost to St. Patrick's Day.
We're past President's Day.
I know. Yeah, getting wild.
Well, we got a whole lot of stuff to cover. But we're going to start off. You know, I'm a fan of the footy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a fan of the footy. I am. I'm a soccer freak, soccer head, whatever you want to call it. So, and, you know, I love scrolling through the gram.
Yeah.
In fact, there was this meme I reposted. I think you saw it. It's, you know, it said, sorry, I saw your story 11 seconds after you posted.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, yeah.
But please forgive me because I'm on Instagram.
You're addicted to the phone.
Six
addicted
hours a day.
It. You're addicted to it.
I'm kind of addicted to my phone. But as I was strolling through the gram, I saw this post. Kaká. That's right. His name is Kaká.
Not Kaká. Kaká.
Start with the jokes now.
Yeah.
Famous Brazilian footballer. Very famous. Won World Cup.
Yeah.
Played for Orlando City. Not when I was a season ticket holder, but played for Orlando City. Anyway, his wife divorced him. And she said she divorced him because he's too perfect.
I cried. Bullcrap.
Too perfect.
I think whenever somebody uses that line, it's not you, it's not me, you're too perfect, you're such a nice guy, and all that, it is them relieving the burden of breaking up with you because they don't like you and they don't want to look like the bad guy. People lie to make themselves feel better. And when you break up with somebody, it's never comfortable. So people will lie and go, it's not you, it's me. Or you're just so perfect. You're such a nice guy. You're good in every single way. And they really should just come out and say, hey, listen, it's not working out. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. But people are cowards. You're a coward. If you're breaking up with somebody because they're perfect, you wouldn't be breaking up with them.
Well, and we've talked about this because let's face it. I am the king of the you're such an awesome guy. You have so many things going for you, but it's just not going to work out. If I had a dollar for every time I had that said to me, I could probably own a small Caribbean island by now. Yeah. As we all know, Lee is extremely relationship challenged. But I think, you know, we had an ex-girlfriend of mine on here a couple weeks ago, Dr. Allison Bronneman, talking about attachment styles.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who come up with excuses like that, you're too perfect, you're this, you're that, they are avoidant attachment style people.
Yes.
They are very avoidant. And they are actually scared of, and I honestly think this might have happened to me a few times over the extremely large number of years that I've been dating. But I think you have a lot of people who are like, oh my God, I have this thing. It's so great. This guy is awesome. He is everything I've asked for. And it scares the crap out of me because I don't know what to do now. So I'm going to go to where I'm safe. It's hard. It's hard. And I think people, especially people who are avoidant relationship-wise, they don't want to be in hard situations in relationships. They want it easy.
Well, but you know, and also the thing is that they're, not everybody is meant to be in a relationship. There's people that are,
no.
But because we're brainwashed into being like, you need to be in a relationship and is pushed upon us, people feel they have to be in a relationship. Like, I had that issue because I definitely don't think I'm a relationship person. And I used to try to make it work. And then I would be in the relationship thinking, okay, now I got to figure out how to get out of it. And then you realize, well, listen, maybe I'm just not meant to be in a relationship because everybody's different. There are people that deserve to be in relationships and want to be in relationships. And that's great. And then there's people that don't want to be. And you can always change. You can be a relationship person and then become not a relationship person.
Yeah, and that's fine.
We get to start with the brainwashing, though. We're forcing things.
Look, you know, when my ex-wife divorced me, she just came straight out and said, I don't want to be in a relationship.
And that's the best way to do it.
I don't want to be in a marriage.
That's the best way to do it.
Best way to do it.
And not the lies of you're so perfect.
Yeah, and it's, you know, like I said, look, especially people who are very avoidant, have an avoidant attachment style. The beginning of a relationship is easy. It's all butterflies
and
love bombing and it's great. It's the honeymoon. It's perfect. As soon as you get to the point where the hard work starts, they take off.
Yeah, and they run.
And that's the thing. When I'm in a relationship, when it gets time to where the hard stuff starts, I am like, okay, I am ready to do the hard work.
And that's about 5 months in.
I would like to thank my therapist for getting me to that place where I am okay. I'm good, and I welcome doing the hard work, because any long-term relationship is hard.
Yeah.
And it's going to take continuous hard work. And there, unfortunately, are people like Hakka's wife, I think, and several others, that are very much just like, I just don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do the work.
And don't get into a relationship.
And
if you don't want to do the work, you're not a relationship person.
Yeah. And honestly, I think if you are that man or woman, if you are that type of person, instead of, oh, you're so great, you're everything, just, hey, look, relationships are hard, and I am not in a place to do the work right now.
Yeah, I can't do it.
And look, there have been relationships in the past, and when I say past, we're talking like Flintstone age ago,
like
for 20 me.
20 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, where we were together, and they just came out and said, okay, I want a child. Now, the thought of a Lee Jr. roaming the earth, I think, should scare everybody.
So you never want to have children ever?
I wouldn't say that. Because remember, I was a stepdad.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a stepdad for basically 3 years.
Would you
want
to father a child, like your own child, like where it's you, it's your offspring?
Now, no, because I'm in an obviously different situation right now. I mean, I am a guy who, I don't have a normal life expectancy. I don't. I've got some.
What is your life expectancy?
I met one lady who had a liver transplant, and she was going on year 30.
So yeah, so you gotta like a good.
But it is always cognizant. It is always cognizant in the back of my head that I got somebody's liver inside of me, and it's not mine. And as the older you get, that liver may very well say, "Peace out, home skillet," like my first one did. But I don't want to put any future child of mine
through that. I get that.
Through that. Yeah. Now, would I be sad if I became a dad at this age? No, I would not be sad. I would tackle it and cherish it with everything. I loved being a stepdad. Loved it. I loved that kid. It was one of the great, it probably was, along with being married, the greatest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Point blank. And I've done some pretty awesome shit.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But those two things right there are my greatest accomplishments ever, period. You know me, I'm the hopeless romantic. You know, hopefully I get to do at least one of them again eventually.
Wait, so do you regret not having children?
I don't regret anything. I don't. Like I said, I had a couple relationships where they were straight up, I'm ready to have kids.
And you were like, oh.
And I was like, I'm not. Because I wasn't. I was not either emotionally, maturity, or my role in my professional career.
Because you're going to have to take a back seat.
Yeah. In a place to have a child. And if you are not in a place to have a child, you should not have a child.
No, I mean, that's the thing. A lot of this, and there's tons of people, and you see them everywhere, they shouldn't have children, and they're having children. You need to be ready for it. Financially, job-wise, and emotionally, and mentally. Yeah.
You do. And
It's a lot of work.
And honestly, that was, especially back then, one of the very rare mature decisions of mine.
Yeah.
To say, I'm not ready to have a kid. I'm sorry.
The party needs to continue.
The party needs to continue. Just think, if I had a child, there would never have been a Leapalooza one or two.
Which
was pretty epic. Speaking of exes and all that fun stuff. So I have, in my singledom now, been a big fan of Sabrina Zohar,
who's
this relationship gal.
Therapist.
Relationship therapist on the gram.
Yeah, she's very good.
I love her. She's amazing.
Fantastic.
I recommend those who are watching, just go follow Sabrina Zohar. She is awesome. That being said, she brought up this one point about letting go of people who have let go of you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, anytime a relationship ends, any sort of relationship, and I say that for the example I'm about to use, but anytime a relationship ends and you're not the one who initiated it.
Yeah, somebody broke up with you.
You want to hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Glimmer of hope, if you hold on, that they will come back around their senses and say, I messed up.
Yeah.
And and I say that and I bring this up because my ex-wife, when we divorced, and I think you remember seeing the post that I made about it, August of 2022, said we are going to stay in each other's lives. We are going to stay good friends. That's how we, when we initially
ended. That's how it always ends. Like a lot of times, if it's not a hatred,
very, my divorce was super amicable.
Yeah.
Took the minimum 6 months. We left with what we came in with, except she hated the state of Florida. So I got the
Florida home.
Luxurious single wide trailer in Gainesville, East Gainesville, America's Garden Spot. And my Gator Orange Fiat, which was awesome at the time.
Is that gone now? Or is that
it is. I sold it. I sold it to the guy who did the yard work for the house out there.
Oh, nice, nice.
I sold him the mobile home also because his old lady booted him out and he needed a place to stay. And I'm just sell it to you.
Worked out.
There you go. Worked out for everyone. But I tried, and we did for maybe the first year or so post-divorce, we stayed in contact. We stayed friends.
You were hanging out and having fun.
Not even hanging out.
Just talking.
Texting, a phone call every now and then, all that fun stuff. And then it just kind of ended. Like, I would reach out, nothing.
Yeah, because she moved on at that point.
Like she moved on. And I would continue. And this is not a bash the ex-wife thing, because I've said it on here a million times, and those who know me know my story and know that she basically saved my life.
Yeah.
And I will forever be grateful. But there came a point where it became just very clear that, you know, when she would respond to me, it was just out of like I would tell her happy birthday. Oh, thanks, happy birthday.
Yeah, be quick.
Very quick. Very kind
responses.
Can I send your son a birthday card? Yes, you can. Never got anything back saying, I got it, thank you. So it got to the point where, you know, and after, you know, listening to Sabrina Zohar, I just went on the Facebook and the Gram and just unfollowed her. And just like, boom, boom. I'm like, you give the energy that people are giving back to you.
Absolutely. Now, is she following you?
She is. She is following me on the Gram. On occasion, when it says, people who view your story, she'll pop up on occasion, which I get a little chuckle at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's still somewhat interested in the person.
It means she was flipping through and accidentally hit on my profile.
Maybe.
But I think it's very important because, you know, here I was for a very long time, huffing and puffing, trying to have a friendship with her, trying to engage, you know, because we were supposed to stay friends. And it just became very clear that she just wanted to move on. Not even so much that it's just, and obviously I haven't talked to her, so I don't know what she was thinking. I can only surmise. But it's not like, oh, Lee, you're a horrible guy, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I just think it's like that chapter of my life is over and I want a clean break and I'm trying to move on. And when someone does that, when someone's like, then, you know, I think chasing after and trying to have something that isn't there is futile. It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It takes away energy.
Rolling Stones song, Memory Motel. Have you ever heard it?
No.
You need to listen to Memory Motel. Memory Motel, you're just a memory of someone that used to mean a lot to me.
You know my favorite Rolling Stones song?
Which one's that?
Take a guess.
Your favorite Rolling Stones song? Is it Start Me Up?
Or? Nope. Come on, it's obvious. What's my line of work?
Oh, but politics.
Yes. Sympathy for the Devil.
Sympathy for the Devil. Sympathy. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, so, but yeah, Memory Motel is a great song about how, like, all the girls that he had dated and, you know, they're just memories now. And it's a memory that used to mean so much to me.
Speaking of dating and memories, what is it the official biggest season for right now?
It is breakup season because guess what happens?
Breakup season!
Party season comes with St. Patrick's Day. First of all, you've got Mardi Gras coming up, and then you've got St. Patrick's Day, and then after St. Patrick's Day, Hot Girl Summer!
It is Hot Girl Summer!
So women break up with men right after Valentine's Day. It's the biggest breakup time of the year because everybody wants to be single for Mardi Gras because, you know, what happens on Mardi Gras?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yes. Yeah. And then you have St. Patrick's Day, and you know, we all know how that day goes. And then after that, it's beaches, boats and boobs.
You know what St. Patrick's Day is? In my world, in the Leaverse, you know what St. Patrick's
Day
is.
What is that?
It's Liverversary.
Oh, no, is it St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day.
What a day to get a new liver.
When I had my liver transplant. Wow. Of all days, America's national drinking holiday.
Yep. Was that, is it 2 years now or three?
Three years.
Wow.
3 years.
So 2022.
St. Patrick. In fact, I remember when I got the phone call. I first my ex-wife called and said, I got a call from the hospital. You're going to get a phone call. They found a liver for you. Now, irony of ironies, I was watching the NCAA men's basketball tournament play-in game. The day before St. Patrick's Day, what school was participating in the game while I was watching it?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah. Fighting Irish.
Yeah. All these signs. That's one of your schools, too.
That is, as we look at the Notre Dame jerseys on my wall right there.
So as you were watching that game, you know, how was your health? Were you like, did you feel like you were at death's door?
I was about two steps away from death.
And you didn't feel well either. Like, it wasn't no. like, it was like, no. you're just like, dead, like no. you're in pain, constant pain?
I was in constant pain. I looked horrible. I remember I had lunch with some friends of mine before.
And could you eat regular food at that point or no?
No. I was on a very strict diet. But I remember having lunch with some friends of mine before I flew out, like the day before I flew out to Florida to wait for my liver. And a bunch of them told me afterwards, they said after I left, they literally said, that is the last time we're going to see Lee alive.
Wow. And look at where you are now. You're great now.
That's how bad it was.
And how long was it before you felt good after the liver came in? Did you feel good right away or something?
Right. The color, like your color and everything just like instantaneously changed. Obviously, I was in a boatload of pain because they say it was a 12-hour surgery. And it was a 12-hour surgery of which apparently at some point I was bleeding way more than they expected. And I like came within
minutes of dying.
Yeah, minute, not even minutes. It was more like seconds of bleeding out. And they say that what I went through is the equivalent of being hit head on by a bus at 60 miles an hour.
That is crazy.
I was in a coma for 2 days afterwards to let my body recover. And I remember...
It was an induced coma.
And I remember waking up and they had ESPN on. And they put an ESPN on as like one of the triggers trying to get me to wake up. Yeah. And I couldn't speak because I had all sorts of
tubes
things.
Tubes.
And the surgery was such a trauma to my body that I couldn't speak for 5 days after.
So you couldn't talk at all?
I couldn't talk
at all. You had no voice?
I had no voice.
Were you worried you wouldn't get it back?
They told me. They told me. I could hear. And they told me I would get it back. But I had. And when it started to come back, I was like, hey. But I remember I would have to write down my questions. And believe it or not, you know what the first thing I wrote down was?
What?
Since we were just talking about divorcing my ex-wife, I wrote down to my ex-wife, please don't leave me.
Wow.
Yeah, first thing. You know what the second thing I wrote down was? Why is everyone talking about St. Peter's?
Oh,
here!
Yeah.
St. Peter's made their run to the Elite Eight, and all I saw on SportsCenter was St. Peter's this, St. Peter's that, and I'm like, what the hell?
I just I'm so like flabbergasted, though, because that happened in St. Patrick's Day of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And then by St. Patrick's Day of 2023, you were planning a soccer season.
I was.
You bounced back super quick.
My liver doctors thought I was 100% crazy. You're talking to a guy who 4 days after his transplant demanded his laptop because he had digital and TV ads to get out for his clients.
Yeah, I remember, you know, I mean, I've obviously been friends with you for years, but I remember you in 2022.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you and seeing you and...
Yeah. It was, knock on wood, but my liver just totally took to me. It's like, you know, peas and carrots.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's doing good. And guess what?
Oh, just like, hold on. We're not done. We're not done with breakup time. We took a little detour to talk about my liver because it was St. Patrick's Day, but... You know who is super excited that it's Fit Girl Summer? It's hot girl summer.
Fit Lurie.
Because that means more clients for Fit Lurie. So yes, if you are a female, getting around, or a male or a guy, because Lucas goes.
Yeah,
Lucas goes.
Yeah.
If you are a man or woman getting ready for hot girl summer, that is correct. Go hit up Fit Lurie.
Yep, absolutely.
Fit Lurie at Combine Fitness.
And I am ready for Fit Girl Summer. Hot Girl Summer and all that. I am ready for it.
You know what I'm ready for. Now we can talk about it. Stockton Cargo schedule dropped! Yeah!
This is year three for you.
Year three of Stockton Cargo Soccer Club in the USLW League in the NorCal division. We once again face a gauntlet of some of the top teams in the entire league.
And you always open up with a hard team.
We always open up with the Oakland Soul. They are our rivals. We tied them last year at home, which was big. They weren't expecting that. We weren't expecting that. We open up with them May 4th. It's going to be a great schedule. All home games are, there are four home games on Saturdays and two on Sundays. So all home games are on weekends. And very excited. First of all, if you want to see the schedule and purchase season tickets, you can go to www.stocktonsc.com.
Come on, get on it.
Get them today. You can see me going bananas and yelling at the refs. You know what game I am most fired up for this season, though?
It's got to be Oakland, right? It's always Oakland, right?
It is Oakland, but where are we playing Oakland this year?
You are playing them in the Coliseum!
We are playing them in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. That is right.
Is it under the lights or during the day?
It is during the day. It's 4 o'clock.
Oh, 4 o'clock. It's a Twilight game.
Twilight game. But it is the field that was once graced by John Madden.
Yeah, John Madden, Ricky Henderson, Reggie Jackson.
Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Just so many people have played there. Charles Woodson.
I am going to go stand in the place where the Sea of Hands happened.
That's crazy, yeah.
I'm going to go stand right there, and I'm going to be Clarence Davis catching the ball amongst the Sea of Miami Dolphin defenders.
Legend.
It is. It's going to be amazing. I was doing some research and I couldn't definitively find out if this is going to be the first ever women's soccer match in the Coliseum.
I think it is, probably.
I feel it should be.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But we're fired up. First of all, I would like to officially thank the Oakland Soul for choosing us
as that game,
your most heated rival in NorCal, to grace the field that day. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great for the team. It's going to be great for the young women who make up the team to have the ability to play on such a hallowed field where so much history has taken place.
Yeah, the Heidi game was there too, right?
The Heidi game was there. The Bash Brothers were there.
Yeah.
How many World Series took place on that field?
We had five. Yeah, we had 1989 and 1990.
And then the three swinging A's.
Actually, the modern World Series, you had three World Championships in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had 88, 89, and 90 were all World Series teams. So six World Championships.
Yeah, six World Series were played on that field.
Six.
How many AFC Championship games were played on that field?
Tons of AFC Championship games in that field. Prior to 2002, tons.
How many times did John Facenda talk about that field and say,
the
Oakland Raiders.
The autumn wind.
So, yeah, I'm super fired up. I know my staff is super fired up. And all the ladies on my team are super fired up. And hopefully all the Stockton Cargo fans that are watching, hopefully you guys are fired up.
Heck yeah.
And we have a very large contingent. Because you know what, Lucas? Soccer is the fastest growing sport in the United States of America, says the stats.
Yeah, and I believe that 100% because soccer is a growing sport. At one time there weren't many people in America embracing soccer, but it gets bigger and bigger every year. The World Cup is in America this year coming up in
2 years.
Next year.
Not 2 years, next year, 2026.
That's going to be very, very exciting. And soccer is, I definitely agree with that, as the fastest growing sport. I don't believe that NBA basketball is the second.
So there was this graph, and it had the fastest growing sports. And it was soccer was number one. And I also find it interesting that it just said soccer and didn't have the individual leagues.
Yeah.
Because soccer is such a global sport. I mean, I will wake up bright and early tomorrow morning and watch my English Premier League soccer on the Peacock.
Yeah.
So you have Major League Soccer, of course, which is the top flight domestic league in the United States. You have USL, which is looking to also become a top flight soccer league in the United States. And they've got teams in Oakland. They got teams in Sacramento. They got teams in a lot of places that love soccer and really is passionate and growing about it. And it's more fan centric, community centric, not, you know, some guy dropping $500 million to have an expansion team. But you've got MLS, you've got USL, you have women, of course, USL Super League. You know, I'm a big fan. Obviously, USLW League, home of the Stockton Cargo.
Heck yeah.
But you also have the English Premier League. You have the Liga MX out of Mexico, which obviously with the large Hispanic population in California, United States, Southwest United States, is really followed by a ton of people. You got La Liga in Spain that's followed by a ton of people. So, you know, when you look at the totality of it, soccer has really grown because it's global and America is a global country.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just like Portugal, which is like all Portuguese people.
It's a melting pot.
We've got a melting pot of so many different diverse cultures here. And that's why soccer is growing so fast. And because it's so accessible now with streaming, with satellite TV, with the proliferation of channels and networks and availability. Yeah. But it was soccer. It was NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB in that descending order.
I think that NHL, especially after this week, has definitely moved ahead of basketball.
Yeah, I don't know where that NBA stat came from. I don't know if it's people like watching LeBron highlights or buying sneakers.
The one thing I will say is the whole stats were 20 to 24. Mm-hmm. So I believe maybe 20, 21, and 22 basketball was at a height. But then right around 22, it really started to dive off because people started exposing the load management.
Yes.
And the fouls became ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the quote-unquote fixing of games started along with the NFL, a lot of that talk in the NFL too. But I definitely think that hurts basketball a lot. Plus, I don't think the NBA is as exciting as it used to.
No.
It's just not fun.
I am used to the old school Boston Celtics.
Yeah, the Detroit
I'm
Pistons.
I'm used to the bad boy Detroit Pistons. You know, I want to see Bill Laimbeer out there clotheslining somebody.
Yeah.
Showtime Lakers, the Jordan Bulls.
It's just not.
It was gritty. It was compelling. They actually hated each other. Let's face it. The Detroit Pistons didn't like anybody. They weren't friends. They didn't go golfing in the offseason together. They didn't go vacation in Cabo. They generally hated the Bulls. They generally hated the Lakers. They generally hated the Celtics. Celtics and Lakers hated each other.
Yeah, and
they hated each other.
And let's be real. Magic and Bird were playing 46 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And now guys are playing like 30, 36 minutes. Then they're taking days off. And, you know, there's more back-to-back games now. And that usually is a back-to-back game. Like Luka played last night, but he's not playing tonight. You know, so there's always days off. And you pay $250, $300 for a ticket because that's the going rate.
Yeah, it's going right.
And you don't get to see Luka. It's bush league.
I just – out of that cascading list of leagues, I was not surprised that NFL and MLB were at the bottom for the sole reason that there is some point where there's just no room for growth.
Yeah, I mean, baseball was so popular – up until about 1990, it was ridiculous. Like, baseball was where football is now.
Yeah.
Like, so it only had one way to go, and that was down. But they're still drawing, you know, the Giants were upset because they drew well over 2 million fans. You know, that says a lot. They had over 2 million fans in their stadium, and they're like, well, this is a down year. So that's how many people are watching baseball. Yeah. It's just not growing.
Well, nothing beats an afternoon at the ballpark.
Yeah, no. It's just... I think baseball and soccer go hand in hand because they're very international. And yes. I think hockey is kind of gaining some ground, especially after this week. The NBA's got to do something.
Yes, it does.
It's dying.
Well, I just think the quality of play really started to deteriorate in the NBA after they said, you can come in as a high school freshman, or you can come in after just 1 year of college.
Yeah.
You didn't have 4 years of college to get ready and grow both physically and maturity-wise.
Yeah, and also I think there's too many people taking three-point shots.
Oh, yes. And that, oh, yes.
And I saw this, and you might not agree with it. I'm just throwing it out there because I thought it was an interesting idea where they said, you know, Major League Baseball made some rules to make it more popular.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's worked out
the
really
pitch
well.
Clock, the pitch
yeah,
clock.
I think all the rules baseball has done has made it more exciting, hence attendance is up. I think basketball needs to do that with a three-point shot. Like, you only have a certain amount of 3 points a quarter.
They got to do something. They really do. They 100% do.
But with the hockey has been controversial this week between, you know, Americans and Canadians.
Yeah, so we had to choose our worst week ever, and it came down to a couple finalists. One finalist was one tool who I unfortunately went to high school with.
Yeah. You had a few tools. I know one of the tools that you went to high school
with. Yeah, I had a few tools I went to high school with. Hillmar, California is a special place, especially for those people who, like, never left.
Yeah, they're still there.
Lifers. It's one thing if you left and you came back. My sister left, lived her life, came back to raise her kids. That's fine. But people who are lifers who never left, who are like my little cocoon in Hillmar, I'm never going to, you know, they're the same people who were going in the Trump tractor parade down Lander Avenue in 2020. Anyways, I'm minding my own business. And I get a Facebook message from this guy. Basically, you know, it was some meme about how people who are liberal or even just Democrats hate America and sell out America and it's America last, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I just retorted back, oh, hey, great. You're a foreign policy expert. That's fantastic. That's good for you. And he replies back with basically just the worst grammar and word usage of all time.
Not a surprise.
Just the worst. Like, honestly, his high school diploma should probably be revoked after the display of it's your Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, not Y-O-U-R.
Yeah.
And just a whole barrage of bad word usage. He was in the running just because who in the hell wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to pick a fight with someone just because I want to. How pathetic does your life have to be?
It's a joyless existence.
It is a joyless existence. It's like, I'm going to try to make someone else's life miserable because my life is miserable.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, get a life. Go make some coffee. Go have some coffee. Coffee makes everyone happy in the morning.
Yeah, but not that guy.
No.
Nothing can make that guy happy.
No.
He's miserable. He doesn't like his life. It says more about him than
it does. It does. But that brings up, he actually got beat out. And who did he get beat out by?
Canadians!
Yes! Not the entire country of Canada. We are talking you Canadian fans who had to boo the U.S. national anthem.
They booed the whole time.
How long is the song?
Is it like almost 2 minutes long?
It's a 2.5, 3 minutes
yeah,
song.
Yeah, they booed the entire song. And I get it. One thing I about your friend.
Yeah.
Because there's idiots on both sides.
No, there are.
The people that were voting for Canada in the hockey game because they're angry about the politics of America.
They are also equally as stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Equally as stupid. And let me be very clear. Liberal people who wake up and pull that shit on conservative friends of theirs?
Yeah.
Just as bad.
Yeah.
Just as bad.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, social media is something for us to put our stuff up there. When I go on national TV, which these days has been like all the time.
Yeah, it's like at least once or twice a week.
I mean, I should have my own show by now. I put it up there because I'm proud of it. Because I have gotten to a place in my career where they're asking me to come on national TV on a weekly basis.
Heck,
you know why? Because I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of funny on there also. And I mean, come on. Look at this face. Look at this face. It's made for TV. But you don't see me going on someone else's Facebook posts or messaging other people saying, your point of view sucks.
I know.
Your point of view is horrible. Because God forbid, we live in a country where people could have differing point of views and not get thrown in the gulag.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous.
But anyway, Canadian fans, all of you who booed, you had the worst week ever, because at the end of the day, come hot girl summer, we will be enjoying warm weather and you guys will still be wearing parkas because it's Canada.
Can I also give you one stat to leave that? Leave yes. on this? So in the last 31 years, the American NHL teams have won 31 out of 31 Stanley Cups, and not one Canadian.
Not one Canadian not team. One. Not Les Habitants, not the Maple Leafs, not the Canucks, not the Jets, not the Oilers, not the Flames.
31-0, baby.
31-0. Eat that, Canada. And with that, everyone, have a great week. We'll see you next time.